Awesome. Well, today I'm jumping back into the Big Ten. We'd covered the first 4 weeks. The first four commandments were the four that basically point us to loving God, showing us how to properly love God. And then he kind of shifts gears here in the fifth one, and these last six are about loving people. And so as we transition into this, as thinking about families. And families in this world, they're pretty dysfunctional, right? Does anybody have a family that is not dysfunctional? Okay, nobody raised. If you did, I was going to be like, I need to meet your family. I need to do like some psychology, some diagnosis, because I probably can find some dysfunction. But families are just dysfunctional. Families are in disorder. And really, even in America, you see things like divorce rate is through the roof, right? It's all-time high. And then a lot of families where people stay together, it's just like everybody does their own thing. The husband and wife aren't really in unity. They're just like, I do my thing, she does her thing, and we're not really living together. We're living together, but we're not living life together. Families, a lot of times, are kind of a mess. Many families, there's family squabbles, right? People holding grudges about this or that and the other thing. Things that are not even a big deal. Things that were years and years and years ago. People are unwilling to forgive. We see a lot of times children very disrespectful to parents, right? We're in the entitlement age, right? Every child is entitled to everything that they want is kind of the way a lot of kids are raised. And we see that throughout society. The average family is really kind of a mess. Now, here's why. It's because the enemy attacks families. The enemy attacks the family unit because if Satan can tear apart the family and he can isolate each person on their own, they're vulnerable, right? It makes his job even easier. He's like, now that I've got them torn apart, they're not going to band together because they're against each other. Like, you know, they got their beef with each other, so they're surely not going to team up against me. And now I got them isolated. I can attack. I can have my way with these weakened families. See, Satan's desire is that families be weakened and fight each other, where God's desire is that we have strong families that will fight for each other, fight together as a unit. And so this fifth commandment, as we get into this, it really lays the foundation for this, for God's desire for strong families, families that fight for each other and together. So as we get into that in Exodus chapter 20, I want you to think about, not just about, okay, this is honoring your parents, so I don't want you to think I'm an adult, this doesn't really apply to me, right? I'm out of my parents' household, but I want you to look at this from an American family standpoint, okay? For the American family, it doesn't matter at what point you're at, I want you to think about families as we go through this. So Exodus 20, verse 12 says this, honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. See, there's a reason for honoring your mother and father. It's not just, listen, honor your mother and father. It's for a reason. It's so that you can live a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. How many of you desire for the Lord God to give you things? Right? We all ask for blessing. We all ask for gifts. Okay? He's giving us one, the land, and he wants us to live in it for a long time. That's his desire. That's why he wants us to honor. So I'm going to say it's not a coincidence that this command right here is the first one for loving others. See, we saw the very first commandment was, do not have other gods besides me. And I said that I believe that was on purpose because it lays the foundation for all the rest of the commandments, but especially for those first four about loving God, but really for all of them. I believe this, in a similar way, this one right here lays a foundation for the remaining commandments about loving people. Honor your mother and father. I'm going to tell you, if you can't grasp the concept of honoring your parents, it's really going to be hard for you to grasp the rest of these commandments and to be able to honor and love people in general. So let's look at what it means here, to honor your mother and father. Honor, this word here in the Greek is kavod. It means to be heavy or weighty. So the basic sense of it is we are to treat our mother and father with this level of respect because they carry a heavy weight of authority, right? I'm going to tell you, kids that don't know this, it is a burden, right? I mean, being a parent can be a burden because it's a heavy weight that you carry. When I look at my children, I think I am responsible. Like, when we were young, when me and Christy first had Marissa, I'm thinking, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Like, we are responsible for this child's life. Like, are you crazy? Right? It's a heavy weight that parents carry. So it's not just that we're bossy, like we have authority, you better listen to me, do this. No, it's a position that should be respected just because of the heavy weight of authority that it carries. Really, parents ought to be treated like the VIPs, right? They ought to be treated like very important people because they are. They carry this heavy weight of authority, and they really should be respected. They really should be looked at with dignity and with honor. And the opposite of honor is to take someone lightly. Like, it's just my mom. It's just my dad. Whatever. Like, they don't know anything. That's the opposite of honor. That's dishonoring because you're taking their heavy weight of authority lightly. Like it's no big deal. Like it's a joke. And by doing that, you're withholding honor and respect. Now, in the Jewish tradition, right, this word honor, this meant a whole lot more that you will be thankful that it does not mean today in our culture, okay? They would serve food and drink. So you honor your mother and father, you will serve them. You'll serve them food and drink, provide clothing and shelter, lead them in and out as long as they are alive. You take care of your parents all their life. This isn't just about when they get old. This means as a child, you are serving them. You're doing things for them to take care of them. And all through their life, it's a commandment that was critical to the survival of Israel. They took care of their own. It wasn't like it is today. We're like, you save up for your future and your mom and dad are on their own. Back then, it was like, man, generation after generation after generation in the same household, and whoever was working, you're paying for everybody else, right? That's how it worked. They didn't have 401ks. They didn't have mutual funds. They didn't have any of this stuff. It was family took care of family, and I believe it was critical for the survival of Israel, but it's also critical for the people of God today. Honoring parents sets a foundation for a person's life that will help them to be successful in loving people. If you can get the concept of honoring parents, it will help you to be successful in loving people. Okay? Parents can be the hardest people to love sometimes, right? Because when you're a kid, you get mad at them. When you're an adult, you may still get mad at them. But now, I want to say up front here, I know that there are parents that do not deserve honor. Okay? I know there are parents that have not been good parents. There's some of you maybe have had parents that have mistreated you. Others may have parents who maybe have financially provided for them, but they did very little parenting. They weren't actual parents. They were just the people that paid the bills and maybe bought the food. I want to say that I'm sorry for that, if that's you, okay? I feel bad for you, and I wish that you hadn't had to go through that. Parents should be honorable people. They should be. It would make it a whole lot easier for the kids to honor them, right? If the parents were those that are worthy of honor, that were deserving of honor. And if you are a parent, it should be your goal to be someone who is honorable. It should be your goal to be someone who is deserving of honor. And it would make this command a whole lot easier. But I want to say that this command is not in response to whether the parents deserve honor. It's not. It does not say if they deserve it. It says honor your mother and your father. See, it's about obedience on your part and specifically obedience to God. It's not even about being obedient to parents. It's about being obedient to the Lord. There's other biblical principles that work the same way, right? When people don't deserve things, love your enemies and pray for them. They don't deserve it. They're your enemies. Obviously, they don't deserve it, but in Matthew 5:44, we're told to do that. We're told to forgive men when they sin against you. Okay? Obviously, they don't deserve that, but we're told in Matthew 6:14 that we should do that. How about this one? While we were enemies of God. We were reconciled to him by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. While we were enemies, did we deserve reconciliation? No, we did not. We were not deserving of it and still are not today. But see, just like these principles here, the fifth commandment is a commandment for you, whether parents deserve it or they don't. We are accountable to God for our actions. All right? And I've taught my kids this their whole life. You are accountable to God for your actions. It doesn't matter what the other people do. It doesn't matter if they're mean to you. It doesn't matter if they treat you poorly. It doesn't matter if they met your standards, if they lived up to the way that you thought they should be as a parent. That is not on you. What your job is to honor them. Now, I want to tell you something that's a little bit comforting in that is we must remember that God has placed us under the authority of the parents that we do have. And guess what? They are accountable to him. Right? Everybody wants to, we all want to play judge and jury. We all want to be like, well, this person deserves that, this person deserves that. Listen, you're accountable to God and the other people are accountable to God. How about we let him do his job and we do our job? In this case, it's honoring our mother and father. The New Testament verse that confirms and reinforces this commandment for today is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1, my children can recite by heart. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may live a long life in the land. There it is again. It has a promise. You'll live a long life in the land. If you're still under your parents, if you're a minor, or maybe you're not a minor, but you still live in their house, then you're still under them. You need to understand that you should obey your parents in the same way that you would the Lord. That's what the scriptures tell us. In the same way that you would the Lord. Now, some of you are probably like, you know what? Well, I argue with the Lord. Sometimes I do that. Okay, but he's saying you should put what your parents say at the same level of honor and respect as you do the things that God says. Basically, their job is to instruct you, to train you up, to raise you up in the way that you should go. That's their job. And if they're doing something, you shouldn't be, I refuse. I reject everything that you're saying and I'm going to rebel. That's what he's saying. You don't rebel, you do what they say. Now, if you have a question, sure, ask a question. They might tell you, too bad. You need to honor your parents. You need to respect them. You need to obey them in the same way that you would the Lord. What does this signify? It signifies that what is expected of children is to obey because it's what's right for them. It's what's right. Isn't that what people that hate injustice, isn't that what they want? Is they want what's right? Well, if you're someone who hates injustice and you want what's right and you want to argue every point, what's right, according to God, is that you obey your parents. There you go. You can't have it both ways. If you want what's right, you need to obey. Now, I do want to say that on the flip side, this is not a requirement for non-believers. We look around this world and we think, well, how can those kids treat their parents like that? And how can their parents put up with it? This is not a requirement for a non-believer. This is a requirement for children of God. These commands were given to the children of God. These instructions in Ephesians were given to God's people. It's not a requirement for ungodly people to honor their parents. They don't have to. Now, do you see why the world needs Jesus? All right? I mean, you look around and you're like, "How they should know better." Well, maybe they should know better. But I'm telling you what, they're not being raised up in the instruction of the Lord. And so I want to say it's not a requirement for non-believers, which means to me that parents, it is time to take our children's spirituality a lot more serious. It's time that we look at and we observe the spiritual condition of our children that we do have influence over. And I'm speaking here of as a church family even. Maybe if you don't have kids, but the other people around you do. We need to look at the spiritual health of children, and it needs to be a big deal. It needs to be important. Of course, so they go to heaven. Of course, we desire that. But it's for everything else in their life, every other part of their life. Children, if you love Jesus, obey your parents as you would him. Now, I'm going to tell you, this shows the transfer or delegation of authority, right? God has handed parents this area of authority over the children. It's a God-given authority. You may not like it, but it's God-given authority. It's the way that God designed family. And I know that kids, you may think that parents don't know anything or that they don't understand. But one day I'm going to tell you, you'll realize that they know way more than you think that they ever did. All the adults said amen, right? There's something that happens when you get to a certain age. And I don't know, maybe it's different for everybody, but you know, maybe 30, 35, especially by then you probably do. All of a sudden you get around that age and your parents get a whole lot smarter. It's like, when did you learn all that? Right? Because all the things that you used to rebuke and like, whatever, you start to see that it's right. You start to see through your life like, wow, they really actually knew what they were talking about. Kids spend so much time trying to prove their parents wrong. They spend so much time. I remember I spent a lot of time as a kid trying to prove my mom and dad wrong. Right? I knew better. I was smarter. I had it all figured out. Listen, parents do so much more than we could possibly know or appreciate until we have kids of our own, and then you find out how much they know. So obey your parents. It's a command that requires action on your part. Even when you disagree, you obey. Even when it's contrary to your desires, you obey. Mom and dad says be home at 11, be home at 11. Mom and dad says you can't do something, you can't do it. Even when you disagree, you obey. Even when they're inconsistent in their rules and how they do things, you're still to obey. It's not about what they're doing, it's about how you're honoring the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, if you remember, Jesus' family had they'd traveled to Jerusalem. His family's traveling home after this festival, and if you remember, they got like a day's journey out, and they realized Jesus isn't with them. They're like, hey, where's Jesus? Like, I thought he was with you. You know, his whole family, a whole caravan of people. I thought he was with you, right? They go back and they look for him, so now it's like 2 days. They traveled out a day, they traveled back a day, and he wasn't doing anything bad. He was in the temple. He's in the temple listening, and he was asking questions. He was in church. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but his parents went back to get him, and this is what he said to them in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He says, why were you searching for me? He asked them, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. See, Jesus obeyed his parents and returned home with them, even though he's like, you should have known. Like, I'm about my father's business. I'm to be in my father's house. And they say, no, son, you need to come with us. He didn't argue. He didn't backtalk. He said, okay, I'm going. I'm going to be obedient. Had he not done so, he would have sinned. You realize that? Even if he would have said, you know what, Mom? I know you think I need to go with you, but I need to be in my father's house. If he would have argued with them and he would have disobeyed and said, you know what, you guys can go along, I'll catch up later, we'd all be damned right now. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient. Thank you for being obedient to your earthly parents, even whenever you knew that you should have been doing something different. Now, there is a time that it is permissible to not obey your parents, and all the children's ears perk up, right? I know most of them are in children's church, but there's a time where it's permissible to not obey your parents, and it's really a very small window. They ask you to break the commandments of the Lord or to deny Jesus Christ. That's about it. If they tell you to do those things, you do not have to listen to them in that situation. Remember the first four commandments. God is first. He's first above all, above parents, above spouses, above children, above anyone else. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 2 in Ephesians, it said, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life in the land. See, when we honor parents, it goes beyond just being obedient. It goes beyond just doing what they say. It includes submission as well. And we ought to look at obedience. Obedience is the outward response to these rules and commands, but submission deals with the inward attitude, the willingness to follow those commands. And so when we combine those things, you get a pretty good picture of honor when you are obedient and you are submissive. But what's awesome here in Ephesians, he tells us there's a promise attached to this. This is the first commandment with a promise. Maybe you know that when God makes a promise, he always follows through. When God makes a promise, it means it is a promise. I'm not going to take it back, right? He's not like us. I promise to be there at 8 o'clock, and then you show up at 8:05. God's not like that. If he promises to be there at 8, he'll be there at 8. If God promises he'll do something at a certain point in time, he'll do something at a certain point in time. But he says here, there's this promise attached to honoring parents. First is so that it may go well with you. That it may go well with you. This is so your life will go well. How many of you would like for your life to go well? Sign me up. I mean, all I had to do was not be a brat. My life would have went well. Man, why didn't you tell me that a long time ago, Mom? If I would just listened, my life would have went well. But instead, there's a lot of bumps in the road throughout my life. Now, when I say go well, you know, it will prosper, but I'm not talking about in a financial way. I'm talking about in a relational way. Your life will go well relationally if you can learn to honor your mother and your father. See, the reason that it's so critical to our well-being and our life going well is this. Your parents are the first authority that you encounter in life. Your parents are the very first authority that you encounter in life. And so by learning to honor them, this is the first step in laying this foundation to honor other authorities in life. Right? People that don't honor their mother and father, they usually don't honor their boss at work either. Right? They usually don't honor governmental leaders. They usually don't honor church leaders. They usually don't honor principals and superintendents and teachers. Right? You can find the pattern. If they don't honor mother and father, they probably don't honor any of these other authority figures that are in their life. It's the very first authority you run into, and if you can learn to honor them, it carries on throughout your life, and it makes your life relationally go well. Honoring parents is critical to developing relationships through life. And you can go, and if you do this, your life will go well. It's a promise. But I want to look a little bit beyond that. With God, there's always more. That's a relational benefit. There's also a spiritual benefit. Spiritual benefit of honor. If you honor your parents, like I mentioned earlier, you also may have a long life in the land. In the land. What is the land? If you remember, I preached a whole message about it right before this series. The land is the promised land. And while that's not a literal destination for us today like it was for Israel, it's still a destination. It represents the promises of God over our lives. The goal for people today should be to walk in, to dwell in the promises of God, right? Do you desire that, to walk in the promises of God? If you honor your mother and father, if you can learn to do that, spiritually you'll be rewarded by being able to walk in the promises of God. When we walk in his promises, I'm talking about rock solid, absolute, true commitments that God himself has made throughout his word. Not just like Betty Jean told you some, like, man, God is going to do something great in your life. God's going to make you a millionaire. Or you're going to have a jet or something one of these days. Okay, things like that. I'm not saying that you'll definitely walk in those promises. But I am telling you that the ones that God has made in his word, you will walk in those promises. It is a spiritual reward that you will have in your life. How many of you want that? Yes? Honor your mother and father. It's for your good. Promises include things like rest, abundant life, eternal life, provision, spiritual blessings, peace, comfort, all these types of things. We will have them if we honor our mother and father. It's for your good. Now, for grown-ups, I'm getting to you. You're not off the hook on this, right? You're out of the house. I don't have to honor mom and dad anymore. Not true. This is a lifelong, the fifth commandment wasn't for children. The fifth commandment was for adults. And it carries on into children. This commandment applies to us because once we've come out from that parent's covering, we may not have to obey them, right? If my mom tells me to go clean my room, I do not have to do that. Don't try it. I don't have to. You don't even live with me. I don't have to go clean my room, okay? You don't have to obey your parents in the same sense when you're an adult, right? Once you have departed the home, especially if you're married, you've become one with someone else, right? Leave and cleave. Part of the cleaving is leaving, okay? So you've left. You've become one with somebody else, with your spouse. And you do not have to obey your parents in the same sense, in the original sense. But I want to go back and look at that original verse in Exodus real quick. Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The promises of God, the long life in the land, they come from honor. Okay? The long life comes from honor. This means even once you're out of the parents' home, there still has to be honor. So how do we do that once we have grown up, or even honestly, once they have passed? Honor doesn't end there. Honor does not end with a parent passing either. So I want to look at a few ways real quick. We can honor our parents throughout our adult life. You can do these as kids too. The first one is to speak well of them. Speak well of your parents. Adults, speak well of your parents. Kids, you can still do this too. Speak well of your parents. You know, the words that we speak can be life or death. Spiritually, life or death. They can build up, they can tear down. We need to speak well of our parents. Listen, don't go around telling everybody the things that your parents have done wrong. And if that's your parenting style, that's a terrible parenting style. Don't tell everybody all the things your mom and dad messed up. Like, well, at least I'm not doing this like grandpa used to. Then you're giving your kids a poor impression of grandpa. I'm serious. Like, does that sound like it's something that's honoring them? As an adult, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be speaking well, right? I desire for my kids to look at me and see someone that they honor, someone that they respect, someone of integrity, someone that prayerfully they desire to be like one day. I also desire that they think that way when they look at their grandpas. Right? I mean, don't you? Do you want them to look at their grandpa and be like, well, he's a bum. I don't want to be like him. Right? Look at all the things. No, you want them to look at the grandpa with honor, with respect, and look at him like, you know what? My dad is the man he is because my grandpa was the man that he is. My mom is the woman she is because my grandma is the woman that she is. Right? You want them to look, you want that to go up, that honor to go up. And them to look at them with honor and respect. We should speak well of our parents. Tell people the things that they have done right. Listen, the worst parents in the world have done something right. The worst parents in the world have done something right. And if you can't think of anything, you can still honor them by refusing to speak evil of them. Just don't speak of them at all. Right? That's more honoring than to speak ill and speak poorly about someone. Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his mother or father, his lamp will go out in deep darkness. His lamp will go out in deep darkness. We should not be cursing our mothers and fathers. We should not be tearing them down, speaking poorly of them. We are to honor them. Second way you can honor your parents, even as adults, is to ask them for advice. One of the greatest mistakes that young people make is when they get to that point where I don't need mom and dad anymore, right? And again, I'm not saying in a marriage, I realize you make your own decisions. There comes a point where Even as young adults, if you're not married, you start to make your own decisions. But when you get to that point where I've got it all figured out, I'm on my own, I don't have to listen to my mom and dad anymore, I don't need them in my life anymore, when you get to that point, and that is a terrible, terrible place, that is foolishness. It really is. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, right? Your parents can be some of those counselors. They should be people that you look to get wisdom, that you look to get advice. And even in an area where they may have failed. See, organically, you don't like to go to someone that has failed. Like, you know, if Ashton starts up a business and the bottom drops out of it and she's left holding all this debt, like, I'm probably not going to go to her and ask her how to start a business, right? I mean, probably not. That's just the way that we think, right? We think, well, I'm not going to go to someone that's failed. I want to go to someone that's succeeded. If I want advice from a pastor, I'm not going to go to one who's seen church after church crumble at his feet, but I want to go to someone that's overcome adversity and he's seen one built up. But I'm going to tell you that when it comes to our parents especially, and even those people, you can still learn something from someone who has failed. Have you ever thought about maybe if I ask my parents for advice in an area they didn't do real well, do you think that maybe they learned a lesson in it? Do you think that maybe they have some wisdom of, well, you know, I tried this and it didn't work and I wish I would have done this instead. I wish I would have done this differently. If I could do it all over again, I guarantee you could go talk to your parents and they can tell you some areas of life that if I could do it all over again, I would have done this, right? That's wisdom. That's a good thing. It's honoring when you go to them and you ask them for advice, even in an area where they may have failed. And you know what? Here's the thing is if it's bad advice, you don't have to follow it. You don't. You don't have to follow it. Proverbs 1:8-9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and don't reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of grace around your head and a gold chain around your neck. Man, your father's instruction, your mother's teaching, man, these things are meant to be good things. These things are meant to be something that you should seek even throughout your adult life. The third way you can honor your parents, and this one might be hard for some people, is to forgive them. That's the third way you can honor your parents, even as an adult. You can forgive them. Again, for those who have parents that have hurt you guys, I'm sorry. I can't imagine what that's like. I haven't gone through that where I've had deep hurt from parents, so I can't say I can relate, but I'm going to tell you that we have a Jesus who does. We have one who does understand. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Listen, he knows every hurt and he knows every pain. Everyone. I mean, you can say, but he didn't have this happen. He didn't. No, it says he knows every single one. You may not understand how he knows everyone, but I'm going to tell you, at the cross, he had it all put on him. Every bit of it. He understands every single bit of it because he overcame every single bit of it. So whatever you've gone through in life, big or small, we need to forgive. It may not be easy, but it is possible, right? Some people need to forgive their parents, and it's a way of honoring. But my dad still treats me like this. My mom still does this. Doesn't matter. It's not in response to whether they deserve it or not. We are told to honor. And if you need to forgive, then you need to forgive. Even if bitterness has set in and poisoned and hardened your heart, I'm going to tell you that there's nothing that the Holy Spirit cannot soften and cleanse. Nothing. There's nothing that he can't soften and cleanse. I mean, you know what? Sometimes it's hard to forgive. How many of you have had a really hard time forgiving somebody of something in the past? It's a hard thing to do. Again, because what we look at is they don't deserve it. It's not about whether they deserve it. If you have a hard time, I'm telling you what you need to do is you need to talk to Jesus about it. As often as necessary and for as long as necessary, get someone to pray for you, unforgiveness is a sin. Now, I'm going to clarify here. Deliberate unforgiveness is a sin. When we are unwilling to even try, when we're unwilling to try, that's a sin. If you're trying, you know what? I forgive this person, and then you find it comes back. I forgive this person. You find it comes back over and over and over. And God knows. That's where God knows my heart is applicable in a good way, right? He knows that you're trying to forgive and you're just not able. Keep going back to the well. Keep going back. Keep going back. Keep going back. Doesn't matter how long it takes. You will find that your Father in heaven has a heart that is full of compassion and is willing to help you. He's willing to wait for you. He's willing to help you. So forgive your parents. And then number four, way you can still honor your parents, even as an adult, is to care for them. So too often elderly and ill parents are seen as burdens instead of blessings. Right? Again, it's just our society. It's the way that things are today. It's like everything's about me. Right? If you disrupt my schedule, if I have to not do what I want because I have to do this, it's the same reason we see the poor parents in the first place, right? Kids got in the way. Kids got in the way of my plans, right? I can't go out and do whatever I want. Just wait till they're teenagers. You can do it all again. You can leave them whenever you want. It's great. I guess it depends on if you trust them or not. Maybe you have to, like, lock them in a room. My kids, we ditch them all the time and go places. But just the same way that people see their kids as people who have gotten in the way and disrupted their plans, a lot of times they see their elderly parents in the same way. That's unfortunate, but it happens, okay? Just as it's the responsibility of a parent to take care of the child, it's one day going to be the responsibility for the child to take care of the parents. It really is. It doesn't matter what our society is doing. I'm talking about through the eyes of God. It's our responsibility to take care of our parents. We look at 1 Timothy all the time in regards to widows. Support widows who are genuinely widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. That's God's design, is that first, that family takes care of family. Now, if family's not doing it, he desires for the church to step in. But the first step ought to be for family to take care of family. Now, I want to say there are different ways of taking care of them. I'm not trying to judge anybody for any way that you've taken care of your parents. Nursing homes sometimes are necessary. I'm just saying that what we need to do is we need to think of what's best for them, not always what's best for us. In the same way that you would parent. Right? It's not always just do what I want to do. I try to do what's best for my children. Don't forget that your parents have done a lot for you in life. And you may not owe them because maybe they weren't very good, but we are still to honor them. Ways that we honor them is to care for them, not just physically, but pray for your parents. And that's an important thing. How powerful of a thing is that? If you can't do anything else for your parents, maybe you don't have the financial means, maybe you don't have a home that can do it, but pray for your parents. What an awesome way to honor them and to take care of them throughout their life. You can pray with them. Even more powerful, pray with your parents even as you get older. Visit them, call them. Let them know that they are loved. These are ways that we take care of our parents as we get older. I'm going to give you a tip. You should treat your parents well because it's probably the way that your children are going to treat you. Because who are they watching? Who are they learning from? Your parents are going to see the way that, or your children will see the way that you treat your parents, and that's probably the way that they will treat you. That could be a little piece of humble pie, right? They're learning. Mom and dad treat grandpa and grandma like dirt. They don't take care of them when they get older. They don't honor them because they don't deserve it. But what about whenever it flips and they look at you and they think that you no longer deserve it, right? That you haven't done enough. They're learning from you because they're watching you. One generation teaches the next, and our children learn to honor because they see us honoring, because they are taught to honor. If you want to be remembered with kindness, treat your parents with kindness. Now, if you can't honor imperfect parents who mess up, again, how are you going to honor other imperfect people that mess up, right? I have a level of respect for my mom and dad that I don't have for a lot of people because they put up with a lot, right? I mean, and they've done a lot in my life. And so if I can't honor them and treat them with kindness and respect, even if they don't deserve it, how am I going to be able to do that to other people throughout my life? Some of you guys, people that I meet at the grocery store, people that I've worked with at previous employments, right? How am I going to treat those people with honor, with respect, when they don't deserve it, if I can't start with my whole family? And again, we need to remember that it's not about deserving it. Jesus came for us while we were yet enemies, while we were against him, and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, set free, have eternal life. That's pretty powerful. Is while we were against him. Jason, if you guys would come up. So this morning, what I want to look at, I want to open up the altars for just a few moments. What I want to say is if you have hurts from the past with your parents, if you have broken relationships with your parents, today I want this to be the day where you can give that to the Lord and let him heal you. We're going to have a couple people down here to pray with you if you'd like to. I read this quote the other day. It said, God can make you whole if you give him all the pieces. He's an unknown author. He can make you whole if you give him all the pieces. See, when it comes to family issues, a lot of times we just like to bottle that up. We just like to, you know what, it's just normal, right? It's normal that there's issues in the family. It's normal that there's fights and there's people against each other. It's normal that when you get older, you kind of lose relationship with a parent or whatever. I want to say that today, I believe that God can make those relationships whole. I want to say that today, I believe that if you've got hurt from the past, that God can heal those hurts today. So if that's you, if you guys would stand with me. If that's you, I want you to come down. I want you to get prayer. And we need to remember that Jesus, we already heard testimony of it today about his physical healing. He is just as capable of emotional healing. He is just as capable of spiritual healing. He's just as capable of, as he is of restoring bone to bone, he's just as capable to restore soul to soul, relationship to relationship, person to person, defeating conflict, overcoming it, helping you to love, to honor, to respect, regardless of if a person deserves it or not. He is just as capable of working in those avenues in your life because he is healer. He came to set the captives free. He came so that we could overcome every single obstacle that keeps us from being closer to him. He came to overcome every single obstacle that keeps us from obeying these commandments. That's why he came, because he fulfilled them. He's like, you know what? You can't do it perfectly, but I can. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it with my spirit. You can do it by my strength. And that's why he came. If today you just need to come forward and repent on your own, you can. If like, you know what? I am convicted that I have not honored my parents. I'm convicted that I haven't honored the people in my life that God has put in place in authority over me. And I want to come forward and I just want to confess those things to the Lord. Listen, you don't have to confess those to a person. He's the healer. So right now, Christy and Mark, if you guys could come forward. I'm going to have them down here to pray with you. If you desire to have someone pray with you, I want you to come to one of these two. But if you just want to come and kneel at the altar, if you want to repent, if you just want to tell the Lord that you're sorry, listen, I want you to do that this morning because I believe that there's healing in this place right now. I don't believe that anything's an accident. When Cindy asked to share that testimony, some of you may say, well, that's physical healing. I'm saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying it shows glory to God that our God is a healer. That our God can take something that looks dark, looks like it's not going to be a good situation, and he can drive light into it. Right? So this morning, I want you to come forward. I want you to give it all to the Lord this morning. And if you don't have any needs, I want you to worship, pray for those who are coming forward, and ask God to just move mightily in the lives of his people this morning. Amen.